Cam Newton's drawn a line in the sand on this Tuesday afternoon, putting his word against Marty Herney's on how things ended in Charlotte while he spoke to Odell Beckham, Todd Gurley, and Victor Cruz. But before we get to the sound, I'm already leaning towards believing Herney. And look, I'm about as pro-Cam as you're going to find in the media, but there's no question his account is less credible than Herney's, and he has an immature side of him that I thought was on display in this sit-down conversation. That side of Cam is both the best and worst of him. When he's in good spirits, he's like a rocket of fun, of energy. He has an incredible heart for kids because that's how he sees himself. He always related better to kids than adults. He, all throughout his formative years, was given reasons to distrust authority and adults. At Florida, he saw that with how things ended. At Auburn, the way people tried to take away his successes on the field with everything regarding his dad. The way he was treated in the media all throughout his Panthers career and even dating back to his SEC days. So he's always had that distrust. At best, though, he has a heart for kids. He's fun. He's full of energy. During tough times, he shrinks. He becomes quiet. He sighs in press conferences. He storms out of the Super Bowl presser in Santa Clara. And he says something like this to Odell Beckham Jr. and Todd Gurley.
When they sent the text, like.
Yeah. That's the part that's hard, though, because now you walking around the building a little different, and you, when.
Wait. They sent the text? They sent you a text?
Nobody called me. My agent called me, bro. And that's why I was. I was like, bro, it was a text sent. And then I was like, what? And then he called me, was like, man, yeah, man, I told them, don't just do that. Like, we're going to have to agree to what team you're going to be traded to. Mm-hmm. I said, this whole time, the owner couldn't call me. No. The GM couldn't call me. But they called me after the fact. Basically, they called me, you know what I'm saying, with the decision already made. Yeah. You know, it was in the book.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of how business works. If somebody makes a decision, it's not really going to be a discussion. And Marty Herney has said multiple times that he called Cam with the news. If he has issued that he didn't show up man to man, well, as nice as that concept sounds, in a perfect world, I think Herney would have done that. But it was a week after everything got postponed and shut down because of coronavirus. They couldn't show up in person. So while I'm not going to ever say the Panthers handled this perfectly, because I did not agree at all with Cam Newton is allowed to seek a trade, the wording being that, I thought there were better areas that could handle it. There's a big difference between that and breaking up with somebody via text. That's never really acceptable. So I'm going to trust Marty's word over Cam's. Because you always have to take everything with a grain of salt when it comes from a disgruntled ex-employee. It's almost like the movie Shawshank Redemption, Robert. Remember when they first ask Andy if he's innocent or guilty, what he says? Robert Walsh is the producer of this show, by the way. You remember that?
Sure.
He says, he's innocent. What about you guys? Or everybody else laughed at him because he said, well, we're all innocent. Don't you know that? Everybody in Shawshank is innocent. So you always got to take words with grain of salt. They all feel like they got screwed. They all feel like they got stabbed in the back. You're always going to hear that from disgruntled ex-employees, even if they're star football players like Cam Newton. Herney's reputation is not one of a backstabber. If it was Dave Gettleman, you might feel a bit differently because he lacked people skills. That was a big part of the reason he got cut. He was all evaluation, no people skills. Herney, his biggest knock was giving too many big contracts to the star popular player. That's what did him in the first time around in Charlotte. So excuse me if I don't buy a track record that's nearly 20 years long of being very pro player as a general manager from a disgruntled ex-employee, even if he happens to be the best Panthers player in franchise history. Let's hear more from Cam, another example of just how obvious it is he's taking this personally.
I'm gonna be professional. You know what I'm saying? I answer the phone call, yes sir, no sir. That's how my mom raised me. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, bro, y'all got some nerve, bro. Like I'm a warrior, bro. You know what I'm saying? I take everything at heart. I'm the type of dude that get off the bus mad. It's raining outside. Oh, y'all tried me.
I'm gonna handle this professionally by firing off at my general manager to Odell, Gurley, and Victor Cruz. That's not really a very professional way to handle it, don't you think? That's a great way to handle it professionally. So yeah, he's taking it personally. This is an example of the immature side of Cam coming out. It's a side that we love when things are good, but when things are bad, he opens himself up for criticism. All right, give me the last clip of Cam talking about the Panthers.
I done gave this whole city, I gave this whole franchise, I gave the coaches everything, my mind, my body, my soul, my heart, and this how y'all treat me, bro? And I said it in the interview before, I never once wanted to leave. Y'all pushed me out because y'all didn't believe in me. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, it was like, he's not healthy yet? Nah, get rid of him.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, just that simple. That's how they make decisions at the top of the NFL. He's not healthy, dispose of him. Throw him into a river. That's what Tepper and Herney said. It's about business. But it never was about business to Cam, it seems like. It was all very personal to him. This decision, I've said it all along, since the day it happened. It was less about Cam and more about Teddy. I believe what Matt Rhule was saying at the Combine wasn't a lie. I think he actually believed he was going to be coaching Cam. But they had several options of quarterbacks they could look at. Doesn't mean you're going to get him. Doesn't mean you're going to convince him to come into a rebuild. If you thought you could get Teddy Bridgewater for less money annually than Cam, for 3 years, with one of those years not having guaranteed money on it, somebody who's 4 years younger than Cam, who ran the offense that the new offensive coordinator coming in is trying to implement, like, it would almost be malpractice for you to not go after that. But view it from Teddy's perspective. How can you expect Teddy to want to accept an opportunity for a rebuilding team if Cam is still in place? It's just not realistic. I don't believe Cam, or I don't believe the Panthers thought Teddy would be available to them. I think they believed Teddy would want more years, he would want more money, and when it became clear he would be available right before the tampering period begun, they went after him and they had to part ways with Cam somehow. So was it awkward? Yes. Were there mistakes made? Yes. But I don't believe a pro GM, pro player GM for nearly two decades ended things with the most important player he's ever drafted by sending him a text. I just don't buy it. Speaking of things I don't just buy, last week, so many messages from Duke haters saying, Zion Williamson, he's in trouble. You have that $400,000 payment that his dad received according to this sworn affidavit. And what I told you at that time was, where was this affidavit when Duke and the NCAA separately investigated Zion? Let's wait and see. Zion said it was BS, and voila! The report today from Mark Schlabaugh of ESPN, the headline saying that the rep who was alleged to have paid the $400,000 was apparently conned by someone posing as Zion's friend. Another example of this case being BS. Nothing about this is about Zion receiving money. It's all about a sketchy agent trying to get a payday from one of the transcendent stars we have here in sports. This representative, he agreed to represent Zion. It would be the third agent that he had, and purportedly paid the $400,000, was just hoodwinked here. And Gina Ford and her attorneys threw it out there like it was gospel a week ago, adding to the shady and incompetent practices being worked against Zion. Gina Ford, not registered in the state of North Carolina. Fact. Business associates with Muniz Sood, who was involved centrally in the college basketball FBI investigation. Fact. The attorneys cited Wikipedia and Zillow as evidence. Fact. Allegedly, actually not allegedly, accidentally subpoenaed a dentist in Indianapolis. Fact. There is still no evidence Zion did anything improper, survived two investigations. People who have alleged things against Zion are shady, including that Michael Avenatti character who's now in prison. And the only reason this is still being talked about is because it's Zion. And it's because critics want to believe it just because they don't like Duke. That's where we're at. This case needs to be thrown out. It should have been thrown out a month ago. In other news, Christian McCaffrey. He was named a member of the Madden 99 club today. But what about the rest of the Carolina Panthers rankings? And who else could be a 99 at this time next year? I'll tell you next on The Drive.
Yes, Josh Graham has opinions.
That's right.
And yes, he's got attitude.
That's correct.
And that's exactly why you love him.
You wish I loved you that much.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
It's Madden Ratings Week, everybody, which means the internet's on fire with angry football fans arguing that their player should be 2 or 3 points higher than where they're currently at, and arguing their rival's best player should be bumped down 5 or 6 points. Christian McCaffrey, he's one of the 4 players to be tagged with the 99 rating this year, joining Mahomes, Aaron Donald, and Stephon Gilmore. Patriots. Robert, he's in control of the sounds, clearly, and he's upset with this. He was ranting to me about this and also what Roy Cooper's saying, how people can be this mad at Roy Cooper, who just announced that we're going to stay in phase 2 for the next 3 weeks. There could still be a fall sports season under this plan B proposal that they're going to be exploring, opening up schools while bars and gyms remain closed. We'll continue to follow this to see what impact it has on high school football. But Robert, why are you so mad at Madden for Stephon Gilmore being a 99?
I mean, the dude could be, I would be okay with him being a 90, a mid 90. Is he the best at his position? I mean, I would argue no.
I mean, he won Defensive Player of the Year.
Okay, so did J.J. Watt a couple years, and he wasn't a 99 all those years.
Well, what I'm saying is he the best at his position? You are if you win Defensive Player of the Year.
Okay, Justin Tucker's the best at his position. Should he be a 99 kicker?
Yeah.
But he's not.
I agree. Well, again, we're talking about two different things. Would I rate Stephon Gilmore a 99? No. Is Stephon Gilmore the best corner in the NFL right now? Yes. He is the best at his position. Find me an example of somebody who won Defensive Player of the Year who was not the best at his position.
Okay, I will do that. But also, it is funny how people complain about these ratings considering they're going to change every single week.
Yep.
They update them every single week. No one, after this game comes out, will be the same rating they are week one.
And Panther fans are mad. Even though McCaffrey got a 99, you have Panther fans saying, Shaq Thompson isn't even one of the top 10 ranked players on the team. What? Which is crazy. That is crazy. Think about it.
What a stupid thing to complain about. The dude, is this his first year as a full starter?
Robert, right. We're living in a time where there's not much going on. Like, there's not a lot to complain about. Like, these are the biggest issues we have going on at this moment. Shaq Thompson being ranked to 76 in Madden.
Curtis Samuel isn't on the trade block on Madden? How Curtis stupid Sam- is this?
I don't know where Curtis Samuel... He's ranked at 80? Curtis Samuel's ranked higher than Shaq Thompson? Like, here are the players. Here are the players that are ranked higher than Shaq Thompson. Trey Boston, 79. Graham Gano, 79. Taylor Moton, 80. Curtis Samuel, 80. Matt Paradis, 81. Dante Jackson. Dante Jackson is an 82? I guess he is fast. Robbie Anderson, 84. DJ Moore, 85. KK Short, 87. McCaffrey's a 99. Those are the top 10 Panthers ranked. We'll talk more about the Panthers when Josh Klein joins us in a little over 10 minutes from the Riot Report. There are three players I believe next year are going to be 99s. So the 99 club this year, McCaffrey, Gilmore, Donald, Mahomes. Next year, here are three more names I think are going to be added to that list. Russell Wilson. I think yesterday I thought Cam was the best value to win the MVP at 25-1. I think he would be my second pick to win the award just because of how he could probably overachieve the expectations that are being put before him. Russell is my favorite to win the award. Hasn't won it yet. If he does, at this time next year, mark my words, he's going to be a 99. DeAndre Hopkins. Russell was a 97 this year. Hopkins is a 98. He's pretty close. Statistically, he's going to have a big year. I know he's going to split catches with Larry Fitzgerald, but Kyler Murray, air raid offense, a lot of passing, a lot of balls going DeAndre's way. He's going to play pissed off because of how things ended in Houston. I don't know if the Cardinals are going to be any good, but the numbers for Hopkins, when they're playing down, when they're throwing a ton, even while they're up, they're going to be massive. So he's going to bump up to a 99. And George Kittle, going to be a 99 next year. 98 right now. Banged up a bit for San Francisco. I think they have so much back. He's going to be the go-to target. No Emmanuel Sanders around there anymore. I also think there was an injury to another Niners receiver. It was Deebo Samuel who got banged up. So, I got that right. I'm pretty sure it was Deebo
Samuel.
There's another one. Another 49ers?
Kendrick Bourne got hurt as well.
Wow. So, a lot of balls going to go Kittle's way. I think he's going to have an even bigger season and hopefully stay healthy, unlike last year. I think he's going to get bumped up to a 99. So, those are the three players I think right now that aren't in the 99 club that will be in the 99 club a year from now. I'm looking at some of the headlines today. It is National French Fry Day. While you're playing that bell, I have listed here my five best French fry styles.
If steak fries is number one, Josh, we might as well just end this show.
Five
right now.
Best French fry styles rank. Would you like to hear them?
Yeah, I guess so.
Actually, do we have like a really deep voice that could potentially help me out with this one?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Number five.
Gotta go with potato wedges. Really strong. Potato wedges, you a lot more to grab onto. Aesthetically pleasing, more aesthetically pleasing than a steak fry. Potato wedges has to crack the top five.
Number four.
Diner fries.
Are those the thin ones?
They are the golden fries. Okay. Very similar to what you would get at a McDonald's.
Gotcha.
Diner fries. Perfect size. Classic. When you think of a French fry, you're probably first going to think of the diner fry.
Number three.
Crinkle cut.
Mm. It depends. Some places will have some trash crinkle cuts, but when they're good, they are good.
Crinkle cuts are the best to get at the store. Like,
I would agree with that.
Reliable. It's hard to mess up crinkle cut. So crinkle cut fries crack in the top five.
Number two.
Curly fries.
Correct.
Ooh, boy. I still get excited when a plate of curly fries comes out, especially when you go to a restaurant, like you're out of town that you hadn't been to before, and you just ask for the fries, and then they show up, and they're curly.
Oh, man.
Like, when you don't expect them to be curly, it doesn't say on the menu. It is such a pleasant surprise when it's curly fries.
One of the redeeming qualities of Arby's.
And number one.
Oh.
Number one.
It's got to be waffle fries. Waffle fries
number one fry style. Oh my God. Like you can sink it into a sauce and have it seep through and go through both sides. Oh, it's great. It's like a potato wedge, but it has the holes in it. It's perfect. There are few things in cuisine that are absolutely perfect. The waffle fry is perfect. The best style of French fry on this National Fry Day, French Fry Day, it's waffle fries. Mm. Agree or disagree?
I would replace your number five with shoestring French fries, like that you would get at a Steak and Shake, the very thin ones. They're always crunchy, never floppy. I appreciate those more than large pieces of potato.
336-777-1600 is the phone number.
Also, I did a little research on players that won Defensive Player of the Year and did not receive 99s the next year.
Well, again, I'm not really disputing that.
I'm just saying.
I'm not disputing.
Stephon Gilmore could have been a 95.
Lamar Jackson, for example, won the MVP. He wasn't a 99.
He's a 94, and I'm cool with that. Because right. He's going to be a 99 right. after
so,
week three.
I'm not arguing that point. The point I'm arguing is, give me a player, one Defensive Player of the Year, who wasn't the best at his position
in
that season.
All right, listen.
You did research for something that's not really relevant.
Luke, should he been, after he won Defensive of the Player of the Year, he was a 95 the next year.
Should have been. But that was early on. That was like his second, it was his third year. That was ahead of his third season.
Woof, he should have been a 99. Aaron Donald was in his second year. Terrell Suggs, he won Defensive Player of the Year. 96. Charles Woodson won Defensive Player of the Year. 95.
Noted. Robert is really charged up about Stephon Gilmore right now. Like, just red in the face. Unreasonably upset. After we talk to Josh Klein, I'm going to get to our decade end list. The football season's going to begin. A new decade of ball. So, fittingly, while we're talking a lot about the Panthers, I have the 10 best Carolina Panthers ranked from the last decade. And we'll get to that in about 20 minutes. We'll get to that top 10 list. 336-777-1600 is the phone number. I have people just trashing random restaurants and their fries on my Twitter feed right now. I don't really want to go down what restaurants' fries are better than the other because I don't want to dog any specific sponsors or anything of that sort. So I'm just speaking generically, styles of fries. Like, what's the best one we got? Let's go to Russ in Kernersville, who has a take on French fries. Russ, Josh. What do you have?
Josh.
Hi, Russ.
Is this Josh?
This is Hi. Josh, yeah.
I'm in Kernersville. Robert hit it on the head, steak fries number one, game over. And then second is either Wendy's or McDonald's. That's cool. Waffle fries, if you need things to ooze through your French fry, that's the worst. You're wrong. I'm 67. How old are you?
Late 20s.
You know what you had to think? When's your birthday? You had to think how...
Yeah. Russ, what's the point? Are you saying that older people do not like waffle fries?
No. The point is steak fries won before the conversation continued, and then waffle fries are the worst, in my opinion. Is that okay?
There you go. There it is. Russ, thanks for the call. That is fair. But I don't think you could say you're just wrong. You're factually incorrect. That's my opinion. You're factually incorrect. Two separate ideas. Really quickly, let's go to Megan in California. Megan, what's your favorite kind of French fry?
Hi, Josh. I just wanted to know why you didn't give steak fries more of a voice, more of a pedestal.
Hold one sec. Megan, I did not dog the steak fry. Robert dogged the steak
They're
fry,
trash.
And he's mad.
They
what?
Are trash. It's a big potato. You want a baked potato as a fry? How does that make any sense, Megan?
Oh, I love potatoes, so if I can get more potato in each bite, I would prefer that.
Well, you know what? Listen, next time you go out to eat, you just order a big, extra large piece of steak fries, and you can have every single one of them, because I don't want a single steak fry on my plate.
All right. Thank you for the call, Megan. Good to hear from you. That's fantastic. Coast to coast. All right. Whose word do you believe? Actually, before we get to Josh Klein, we need to put this out on the poll. What are you more interested in debating, Robert? What the best fry is altogether, or do you enjoy steak fries? Like, what is the debate you care about more?
I need to know if I'm weird for not
like
liking
steak
fries.
Do you dislike steak fries?
Yes. Okay. If someone is exclusively ordering or offering steak fries, I do not want them.
How about we put that next to... We'll put steak fries, we'll put waffle fry, and what did you say your favorite fry was?
Not favorite fry, but I enjoy shoestrings. Shoestring fries.
What was your number one?
Probably curly. I would agree with your number two.
Okay. Then that's what we're going to do. And we'll see where we end up. But whose word do you buy more, Cam's or Marty Herney's? We'll discuss with Panthers writer Josh Klein next on The Drive.
Let's go, baby.
What, kind of like this?
Let's go!
Back to The Drive with Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
We'll get back to French fries in a bit on National French Fry Day. But Cam Newton told OBJ, Todd Gurley, and Victor Cruz he learned the Panthers were moving on from him with a text and that he didn't speak to David Tepper or Marty Herney to lose that news. Learn that news. Meanwhile, Herney has said multiple times that he called Cam and his agent to let him know of the team's decision. And while we can all agree the Panthers could have handled this situation a little bit better, breaking up with somebody via text is a different level of low that I have trouble buying from a mostly seen to be pro player general manager. Panthers writer Josh Klein from the Riot Report's now with us. Which story do you buy on its face, Josh? Cam or Marty's?
Listen, does it have to be one or the other? That's my real question. Can't it be a mix of the two? In my mind, yeah, maybe he got a text from his agent. Maybe Marty called him after the news had already leaked. There are all kinds of scenarios where we've gotten into this, like he said, Cam says this, and then Marty said this. And, you know, Marty said that he reached out to his representatives immediately after they made that decision to make him available via trade. And then even Cam in the video is saying that, you know, we've got to control who the trade options are going to be. So in my mind, it's a little bit of a mix of both. But I think it's hard to, in a situation like this, this was never going to be an easy breakup, and both parties were going to walk away satisfied. You know, somebody was going to be upset, whether it was going to be the Panthers themselves or whether it was going to be Cam. And obviously, it has turned out to be Cam. You know, in this situation where it is a business, I think there's a little bit of a kernel of truth in both. But, I mean, you're absolutely right. Everyone is right. The Panthers could have handled this better from a public-facing optics standpoint, the way they went about announcing it, to the way that they went about telling Cam about it, to all of these things. There are a thousand different ways this could have been done better, but ultimately, you know, once it's done, it was never going to be a pretty situation where everybody walks away happy.
He's on Twitter at Josh Klein Rules from the Riot Report. It's Josh Klein with us here. What was the most interesting thing you heard from Cam in that hour-long video talking to Odell, Victor Cruz, and Todd Gurley?
Well, you know, saw a lot of it on Twitter in two-minute chunks before I actually sat down and kind of watched the whole hour-long video. I hadn't really, to be honest with you, I've been kind of trying to, you know, obviously I know that Cam is the most famous player, the most iconic player in Carolina Panthers franchise history, but I think a lot has been made kind of on Panthers social media, in the Panthers fan base about Cam now that he's even, you know, moved on to another team. And so I had only seen kind of the chunks, but when you watch the whole video, there's about 30 minutes of really interesting conversation about the Black Lives Matter movement, about how coronavirus has affected not just Cam Newton, but the entire NFL. And to hear it directly from the mouths of these guys that are huge names in the NFL that are going to make an impact in how these things get shaped through the NFLPA, I thought was incredibly interesting. Another little detail that I picked up in there was Cam said that when he was throwing with Odell Beckham, he said he was on a pitch count. So, you know, obviously there's still a little bit of concern somewhere in Cam's camp about that shoulder still now, however far removed we are from surgery. And then, of course, you know, you hear the things that the way that he felt disrespected and the way that he was treated, and that's never something that you want to hear. Cam has been saying all along and never wavered from the fact that he wanted to stay in Charlotte. And, you know, obviously that hurts when a team tells you that they don't want you to. And I think that, you know, the way that he reacts and how he plays this year, if there is a season, of course, is going to respect that kind of disrespect and that hurt, because Cam loves playing with a chip on his shoulder. He made that pretty clear in the video and has made it clear for his entire career. So I think you're going to see a very motivated Cam Newton.
Is Josh Klein of the Riot Report pro steak fry?
No, steak fry stinks. It's too mushy in the middle. It's not crunchy. The best part of a French fry is the crunch. Come on. Now, me personally, I'm a big curly fry guy, because you get the seasoning, you get a lot of, especially if you get it like a nice, well done curly fry, has a nice crunch to it, a nice texture. But yeah, steak fries, that's less of a fry and just kind of a wedged out baked potato.
Robert is yelling. I could read his lips. He's yelling thank you multiple times in the studio. Robert is more passionate about this than I am.
He gets it. This guy gets it. Josh gets it.
You come to me with steak fries, I'm going to be unhappy. If you're like, hey, man, bring home some burgers and fries, totally. And you walk in the door with a burger and a sack full of steak fries, I'm like, what are you doing? Where did you order this from? What kind of weird place is serving steak fries in a sack?
It's a great point, and I can't really refute it. He's on Twitter at Josh Klein Rules from the Riot Report. Josh, this is your first appearance on the show, and you're really coming in with a bang. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. I mean, if it's going to be more French fry talk, you know the guy to call. I've got hot food takes, and some of them are terrible. Most of them are exactly right.
Hot food takes. That's a good idea for a segment. There he goes. That's Josh Klein from the Riot Report. We have a statement in from the North Carolina High School Athletic Association in response to Governor Cooper's announcement on the return to in-person learning. There's likely going to be a 50% capacity, it looks like, in this Plan B they're describing. So I'll just read the statement in full from the North Carolina High School Athletic Association. As was just shared by Governor Cooper, this decision on the starting of school for the 2020-2021 school year now puts us in a better position to make informed decisions concerning if, when, and how to resume athletic competition at NCHSAA schools. We will continue discussing the numerous options and scenarios that have been developed and recommended, identifying the most appropriate scenarios. The staff will work with board of directors, sports medicine advisory committees, and other stakeholder groups to solidify the details of the best plan for the safety of our student athletes, coaches, administrators, and the communities the association represents. We know everyone is interested in start dates and protocols. We will provide further updates when they become available after board discussion and action. So it seems like they're going to try and make this happen. And that's pretty good news. While we can all agree that remaining at phase two is, it's an inconvenience, but this is why you elect your leaders in a democracy, to try and figure out what's best, even when decisions aren't the most convenient for everybody. So that is the latest on high school sports, Cam Newton and Marty Herney, and French fries. Should I update that poll real quickly?
Yeah, let's hear
it. You can vote on this at Josh Graham Radio, at Sports Hub Triad on Twitter. What's the best style of French fries? And it is competitive. 33% of the poll is voting waffle fries, 29% coming in with curly fries, 21% going other. And 17%, Robert, 17% steak fries.
I'm not scared. Those people are psychotic.
What?
And you added... We had
a couple listeners who love steak fries.
Yeah, and they can call back in here. One of them said they were 8 blocks down. I'll meet you in the street. Steak fries are terrible.
I'm not nearly as bullish in my steak fry opinions. I'll be honest with you. It was probably number six on my list. It's right there with Shoestring.
Yeah. Oh, my God. How many types of fries are there? It's in the bottom tiers of fries.
There aren't as many as you think.
I would rather have a plain baked potato than steak fries.
Oh, bleep off. I'd have a steak fry. But if you're talking about baked potato with the cheese on top of it, then that's obviously a different conversation. All right. Today's top 10 list.
Ooh, chili cheese fries.
Today's decade end list. Going over the last decade's best centers on the Panthers. I'll list off the top 10 Panthers of the last decade next on The Drive. All right, it's time for our weekly NFL trading card war. If you don't know what that is, this segment was created at the start of the pandemic with me walking into a Target, seeing trading cards, and thought, man, I missed opening up trading cards like I used to do as a kid. And since baseball is no longer the biggest sport in America, the NFL certainly is, I thought it would be great if I just got a ton of trading card packs. Me and Robert will open one on the air, and then kind of in the theme of nostalgia, much like a high school yearbook superlative, we would try to attach what we have in a pack of cards that we literally just opened up. We would try to place players into given categories, given superlatives, and then me and Robert will go head-to-head. Whoever gets three or more of the superlatives or has better players in those superlatives will end up winning the trading card war. I think it's a lot better when we just play it rather than explain it, so let's do that. It's NFL Trading Card War.
This means war!
Oh, you're a tough little guy, aren't you?
This means war!
Hey, it's cool, it's cool!
This means war!
What? Does it have to? Can it mean something else?
Okay, you dirtbags! This means war!
Finish him!
Okay. While I'm looking at my cards, I'll read some of these categories. First superlative, most likely to get into an entanglement with a teammate significant other. That's so good. Most likely to own a horse.
Oh, God.
Most likely to shotgun a beer the quickest. Most likely to be sponsored by the new Ford Bronco.
Which they pushed the release date back because it was going to be on OJ's birthday, which would not be great. But then OJ let his thoughts be known on Twitter, as he usually does.
Hey, Twitter world. And most likely to have a cameo in Law and Order SVU.
I'm going to win that.
You think?
Yeah.
All right. Let me guess, do you have someone who actually was in SVU?
No, I have someone whose crimes could have been.
Oh. When people usually are in SVU, is it more fun to be the criminal or be on the good side?
I think so. My favorite...
Well, which one is it?
Robin Williams.
Oh, no. I mean, which one is it? To be on the fun side
To be the villain.
To be the villain. Got it.
Like, Robin does this ridiculous thing where he, like, I don't know, you can believe him in any scenario it is. And that's my favorite cameo in SVU.
Right. Okay, most likely to get into an entanglement with a teammate, significant other. I'm trying to load the category here based on past segments we've done. I got Stephon Gilmore.
Okay, how?
I mean, he's known to take things away from people.
Okay.
Right? And taking away the love of one of his teammates has in their significant other seems to be a natural thing that might happen.
You're saying he's trying to take it to the house.
If the category was get to have to be the guy who has one of his teammates getting into an entanglement with his significant other, Damian Williams might be most qualified for that. But that's not what we're talking about here. I also have Damian Williams. Stephon Gilmore's my pick.
I'm going a little off the wall here, and you're probably going to push back, and that's fine. I wouldn't expect you to do anything less. I'm going Larry Fitzgerald. Because imagine this, you're at a banquet for some kind of charity, and you're there with your wife, and then who's the man giving the speech? It's Larry Fitzgerald.
And who's there at the after party, all dapper and dressed up? He's received accolades. Everyone talks about how nice he is.
But,
you take a little trip to the bathroom,
but,
and you come out, and Larry Fitzgerald has taken your girl. No and, one would ever suspect him of that.
And his butt.
Oh, yeah, and his butt's great.
He's got a big butt. I'm definitely going to push back on that.
Yeah, Larry would never do that, but I thought it was
Larry
fun to
Fitzgerald
think about.
Larry Fitzgerald is the nicest guy in the league. That's a nice argument, but I'm taking the first one. Just like Stephon Gilmore might take away a football or your girl. Number two, most likely to own a horse. I think I got you here, but what are you going with?
I have one of the three Ds, and it's three defensive players. One of those players is Devin White, who is a notorious redneck. He puts up four-wheeler like videos and stuff, and I don't know for a fact that he owns a horse, but it would not surprise me if he did.
I'm going with Dalvin Cook. Because Dalvin Cook, he looks like a big old cowboy.
How does he?
I mean, if you're talking about cowboys are known for riding what?
Horses.
And when I think about horsepower, I think of running backs. And Dalvin Cook, I mean, he gets on his horse. He's one of the best running backs in the NFL. So I think he's most likely to own a horse. It's Dalvin Cook.
I think there of like five more running backs before I think of Dalvin Cook when it comes
Dalvin
to horsepower.
Dalvin Cook was one of the three best running backs in the NFL last year.
That was the first year he's done that. All the other ones, he trips over his hangnail and hurts himself.
Talked about like 1,200 yards, 13 touchdowns. I don't have it in front of me right now.
What, you just look it up?
I just know it by memory.
Does Dalvin Cook own a horse? Did you Google that?
Wait a minute. Devin White is a redneck?
Yes. Notorious redneck.
Let me see this real quick. I'll be the judge of this myself. Devin White. We're talking about the...
What did you search? Yeah, I'm going to
Devin White redneck real quick. Going to take a look at this real quickly. What makes you think that Devin White's a redneck?
Okay, Devin White does own a horse. He actually... used to own a horse.
All
it
right.
died. Its name was Daisy May.
All right, you got me.
Look
We're
him
tied.
Up. Look him up on YouTube. He
most
is...
likely to shotgun a beer the quickest. I'm
you
going
are...
with Josh Jacobs because that guy certainly can pound some brews. He is strong. He is big. That's the dude I'm going with.
I'm going to go with the guy who is the freshest to college, and I'm going to go Joe Burrow here. I feel like that guy can just clean
Wait
a can.
A minute.
He can clean a can faster than anybody else.
Okay. This is definitely a mistake on your part to go here. Because I strictly just go height and weight to figure this one out. Like,
that has nothing to do with who can shotgun a beer faster.
Yeah, like putting it back, it certainly does.
Muscle? Muscle matters for how quick you can shotgun a beer? Height matters for how quick you can shotgun a beer?
They weigh the same.
Okay.
They're both 220 pounds. Really, the question we're asking is, who parties harder, LSU or Alabama?
The question is, who spends more time drinking? Comparatively, it's got to be Joe.
I mean, you're talking about being out of school. Like, Joe Burrow, I think, might be older than Josh Jacobs.
Which probably means he's had more time to party in college.
He's a year older than Jacobs is, so you're talking about more likely to party? It's the younger person.
No. Oh, my gosh. You're going to tell me that Josh Jacobs parties more than Joe Burrow.
I won't.
Burrow was at Ohio State.
You got me.
Thank you.
Okay. Joe Burrow, you're up 2-1. God, getting crushed here. Most likely to be sponsored by the new Ford Bronco.
Yeah, are you going to go or you want
no,
me
it's
to
you.
Go?
Your turn.
I'm going to go Adrian Peterson. They switch off one former running back to another with some minor red flags in his past with the child whipping thing. But I could see him pulling up to the Redskins facility in the brand new Bronco.
I'm going to go more problematic. I'm going Jake Fromm.
Oh, gosh. Why would he?
I got two reasons
for you.
He does
look like daddy's money.
I got two reasons for you. Yes, daddy's money certainly qualifies. One, incredibly controversial. Two, plays for the Buffalo Bills.
Currently.
Yes.
I don't know for how long.
Well, no, they said they're going to keep him on the roster for now.
I mean, yeah, until roster cuts come.
Right. So Jake Fromm, when he makes the Bills, he's going to be sponsored by the new Ford Bronco. because you got to have a Bills player to be the guy, right? All right. And he's got to be controversial.
Josh.
Who's the only controversial Bill that there is? It's Jake Fromm.
Stephon Diggs?
Also, his handle is Jake Fromm State Farm. So he's already built for advertising.
All right, Josh, we're sitting in the Ford Bronco Studios, and they're like, all right, guys, we've got two athletes interested. Adrian Peterson is interested, and Jake Fromm is interested. Who are we going to go with?
Jake Fromm has more potential. Adrian Peterson, he might be retired in 6 months. I mean, is he going to get all the carries with Washington this year? I don't know.
It depends if Darius Geis gets the hiccups.
I'm pushing up, man. I'm going Jake Fromm.
You can have Fromm, so we're 2-2.
All right.
That's fine.
Robert told me that I'm going to lose the last one here. It's most likely to do a cameo in Law & Order SVU as we ran out of music bed, but hopefully, there we go. Law & Order SVU, one of my favorite shows. If a show is on that I'm likely to keep on, it's going to be SVU. I went to a friend's house recently and just threw on SVU, and we sat there, Robert, for 4 hours. That's just something that happens with SVU. I don't know if it happens with many shows. I'm going with Alvin Kamara. Need a little star power. I think if you want someone to be a villain, I think...
got to be somebody with a nose ring.
The nose ring is perfect.
Is it?
The
I
nose
was
ring.
Joking.
Oh, no, no. The nose ring can, you can do like demonic stuff with some makeup. No, I mean like have some makeup and have it be like really far down the line. I'm not saying all people with nose rings have that deal, but people with nose rings look more intimidating, no? Like if you're going to be a villain... intimidating, I think nose ring will make you more intimidating, and Alvin Kamara has some star power enough that he could effectively have a cameo in Law & Order SVU.
I could see that. I could see that on regular Law & Order. But on Law & Order SVU, the villains have to have a certain amount of grunge to them, a little bit of sewer dweller to them. And I have the Pittsburgh Steelers as a team.
Oh,
I am
going to
raise Ben Roethlisberger.
No.
The teams really are a cheat code.
It's over.
I can't believe you didn't get a team in your pack.
I didn't. What other teams did you have?
I had the Tampa Bay defense team. I had the Steelers, and I have the Buffalo Bills team. I got three teams in my pack.
Oh, my gosh.
Those are really like the wild cards
didn't
in
have
Uno.
A shot.
Or,
the NFL trading card war. I really didn't have any shot, so you were right. Big Ben. I feel like you made up that category, seeing that you had Big Ben.
I came up with these at like 12 o'clock today.
Okay, good to know. There you go. Roberts won the NFL trading card war. B-Dot's going to be in studio tomorrow with us. We have Kara Lawson that's going to join us. We need to hash out before we get done here this French fry poll. You could still vote on at SportsUpTriad. 336-777-1600. It's National French Fry Day. What is the best style of French fry? Because I gave the rundown earlier in the show. Potato wedges is my fifth favorite style, followed by diner fries, crinkle cut, curly fries number two, and number one is the waffle fry.
Tell the people what the poll says. I'm just very confident that steak fries are... let me say this. Steak fries are going to be under...
you hate steak
10%.
Fries. I don't know why you're taking it out on. I think they're big, they're supple. I like steak fries.
Usually that's how I enjoy my women, but like that's not what I'm about with French fries. I like the crunch. I like to know the brown around it. It's not that soft yellow. It's a little darker.
Waffle fries commands 39% of the vote right now.
That makes sense. A little scary. It's down though.
Curly fries 25%.
Oh no.
22% other, 14% steak fries.
14% of people are psychotics.
I mean, that's probably true.
Next thing, it's like you should ask, do you enjoy waffle fries? And anyone that says no to that is definitely psycho. Or curly fries.
Yeah. I'm not surprised waffle fries is the favorite, but I want to leave things open. I don't want... this is a radio show for everybody. Even if you like steak fries, Robert doesn't welcome you, but I do
not welcome you.
336-777-1600. Stick up for steak fries because we had a number of people call in earlier standing up for the steak fry.
That's like if someone asks you, hey, what's your favorite part of the watermelon? And they're like, oh, I enjoy the rind. I like the green part. Maybe that white right underneath the red. Get out of here. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, I love the seeds.
Yeah, I like to spit out the seeds. You don't like watermelon. We actually had this discussion. The seeds bug you out? Is it the Magic School Bus episode where he swallows one?
I like watermelon flavored things. I'm not a big fan of watermelon.
Is it just like the texture of it? Or
the seeds don't help either.
Okay, so if I got you a seedless watermelon.
I'd eat it.
Okay. I would also like to put forward eating fruit in the shower. It's a whole different freeing thing. Like, you don't have to worry about the juice.
I've never eaten or drank anything in the shower.
Never even a shower beer?
No.
Josh.
No.
I feel like we need to do wife swap, but it's like life swap. Where, like, you have to do my schedule and I have to do your schedule.
I am not going to do an entanglement with you, Robert Walsh.
Why not? Neither one of us would get anything done.
Well, I mean, you don't have kind of... Don't we both have to be with somebody for that to work or no?
No, it's not wife swap. It's life swap.
Life swap. Got it. See, understood. Yeah, life swap. That would be great.
I hate your sarcasm.
No, I mean, you would be so bored by my life.
I would have to be talking to all these...
Do you know how often I'm thinking about these 3 hours?
Probably all day.
That's it. Like, I prep all day.
And you're talking to all these sports people that, not that I don't care about them, but it's not in my wheelhouse.
That's it. I mean, I'm calling people, talking to those people. You would find these conversations to be, most of the time, really brutal and boring.
I hate talking on the phone.
You have to have those boring and brutal conversations in order to get to the ones you would find to be captivating, fascinating. Like, when you talk to people who have information, sources, things of that nature, you got to build relationships with these people in order for it to work. In order for you to get some of them on the show as well. Giving away a lot of tricks of the trade. Let's go to Scott in Archdale who wants in on the French fries. This might be the last person in on the French fry debate. Robert doesn't like steak fries.
Make
I gave
it count,
a bunch
Scott.
Of the I gave a bunch of the contestants for the best French fry style. What do you say? Scott, you're right
going
ahead.
On, bro?
Yeah, not a
How
lot.
How you been, man? Good talking to you.
It's good to talk to you, too. What do you think, man?
Hey, man, steak fries. That's the devil, bro. Okay, mess some steak fries.
That's what I'm talking about, Scott.
Roll with, man, you want to talk about some of the best fries? They ain't cookout, man. Cookout's got some good fries, but
Had
you got
to
roll with them curly, crunchy fries.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it,
Appreciate
Scott.
The phone call.
Have a good one, bro.
I actually had cookout fries earlier today.
Really?
I felt really debaucherous today.
It's like if you ever eat cookout before 2 a.m., it's like, am I doing my body a disservice?
When I take people from out of town, from out of the state, I should say, to restaurants, like quickly, things you need to go to, Bojangles is a must. But cookout's right there too because they're always, their eyes light up when they see the milkshake options and they see how much food you get for less than $7 or $8.
Those trays, man.
It's incredible. It really is.
And I know we got to get to take it to the house.
We need to bring this back. We used to have the thing. You know how Dan Patrick does the what you weigh, like, or what you bench, excuse me, when people call in? We need to bring back when people call into this show what their cookout order is. Like, you just come in. Yeah, Scott from Archdale, big double burger tray. Chicken quesadilla, French fries. I don't know why we stopped doing that. I remember one time Jones Angel just called into the show we had as a guest, and I asked him a very serious Tar Heel question, and before he answered it, he was like, gotta go with the chicken tenders, Josh. What do you got to take it to the house?
You go to Walmart for everything, so why not go there to watch a movie?
We have very little time. We're going to take it to the house next.